A word of warning.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. As day two of the G20 gets underway today in Pittsburgh, President Obama and European leaders will reportedly accuse Iran of concealing a covert nuclear plant. The UN's nuclear watchdog said this morning Iran has admitted to a second uranium enrichment plant that's under construction there. Still, ensuring and sustaining economic recovery remains the first priority at the summit of the world's richest nations and emerging powers. One thing getting a lot of attention is the future of the International Monetary Fund. European press reports say Britain and France are upset about an American plan to shake the IMF up. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The U.S. would like the IMF to reflect the global shift in economic power. It wants to see emerging economies like China and India have a bigger say in the world's main financial body. The IMF oversees the global financial system and bails out countries in trouble. Britain and France had warmly welcomed America's planned reform, until they discovered that as a result they would lose their seats on the IMF's board of directors. Graham Mather of the European Policy Forum says it's not surprising the Brits and the French are up in arms.
No country likes to see itself excluded from an international gathering. It's a great blow to national prestige.
But he says the planned downgrade is understandable. Both the Brits and the French wield influence in the IMF out of all proportion to their economic power. They each have more votes than China, while the Chinese economy is now roughly 50% bigger than either of theirs. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Stocks are all over the place today. In Europe, shares in Frankfurt and in Paris are pretty much flat. The FTSE's in the green by about 0.5%. In Asia, a sour note to end the week. The Nikkei fell more than 2.5%. The Hang Seng was off just slightly, though. At home yesterday, markets with a little give back. The S&P and NASDAQ dropped an average of 1%. The Dow closed down about 41 points at 97.07. Betting company Simmons said today it plans to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, and they want to implement a restructuring plan that will help significantly lower its debt. We talk about the G20 in Pittsburgh and the taking up of global economic reform. Well, the U.S. Congress has its own work to do to try and prevent another financial meltdown. Former Labor Secretary Robert Rice joins us this morning to talk about whether lawmakers are able and are willing to make some new rules happen. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
So what's the mood in Congress as far as financial reform goes?
Less than expected 8 months ago. The sense of urgency is gone. Most people are focused on health care these days, and the street has been exercising its lobbying muscle, already watering down proposals for tightening rules on trading derivatives, like credit default swaps.
And what about President Obama's idea for giving the Fed this authority to oversee financial risk?
Doubtful. Many in Congress are asking, why give the Fed more power when it blew it last time by not seeing the housing bubble? One possibility here, Chris Dodd, the new chair of the Senate Banking Committee, wants to combine the Fed with three other major bank regulators into one super regulator.
And we've heard about this new Consumer Financial Protection Agency. I mean, what are the chances of that getting through?
I'd give it even odds. Business groups hate it. They're already running TV ads about the perils of more government. And both the Federal Reserve and the FDIC say it's unnecessary.
And, Bob, limits on compensation. I mean, that's been a big sticking point, right?
Well, obviously, Wall Street doesn't want them. But Obama has two interesting allies on this one. The Europeans have come up with a proposal linking pay to long-term performance. And the Fed is also cooking up one.
And is there anything coming down the pike that looks like a sure bet to you?
Yeah, two of them. The president's proposal to create legal authority to sell off the assets of big banks like Lehman Brothers that are on the verge of going under, and also requiring banks to have more capital on hand.
What about something that's not on the table that you think maybe should be?
Well, to my mind, resurrecting the Glass-Steagall Act, which walled off investment banking from commercial banking, that could have stopped a lot of the mess we're in right now, but that's not on anyone's radar screen right now.
And, Bob, what if this is all for nothing and we walk away without any bills getting passed?
Well, don't even think about it, Steve. Now that the big banks know they're too big to fail and will be bailed out if their bets turn sour, they're likely to make even riskier bets than before in the absence of smarter regulation and better oversight. And nobody wants to go through another meltdown again.
All right. Former Labor Secretary Robert Rice, who teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com.
Later this morning, the Pentagon unveils the bidding rules for a $35 billion contract to build 179 air tankers. They're basically flying gas stations. It's the third time the Air Force has tried to buy these planes, but the procurement process has been plagued with problems. From Washington, Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
There are only two firms in the world bidding to make these massive flying tankers, Airbus and Boeing. Scott Hamilton is an aerospace analyst for the Lehman Company. He says for Boeing, winning this contract is about protecting its turf.
Strategically, they sure as heck don't want Airbus to have a production facility foothold in the United States.
Boeing executives worry if its European rival wins this bid, eventually Airbus will end up building tankers, freighters, even passenger planes in Mobile, Alabama. Paul Nesbitt, an aerospace analyst for JSA Financial Research, says recently the World Trade Organization ruled the company was improperly subsidized.
They call it launch aid that the European countries have been providing Airbus, several billion for each new aircraft being developed.
But yesterday, the Air Force told lawmakers the WTO ruling would not damage Airbus's chances. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, Italian police said they seized a crocodile they claim was used by an alleged Naples mob boss to intimidate local businessmen. Officers last week searching for weapons in the man's home found the croc living on his terrace. The crocodile weighs in at 88 pounds. It's 5.5 feet long. Authorities claim the man would invite extortion victims to his home and then threaten them with the reptile if they didn't pay up or grant favors. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.